make this statement, and I make it again. I love God to our lives and our living and our experiences. As Jesus lived on this earth, he experienced the whole gamut of emotions. He experienced all of those things that we experience and feel. And he spoke to the reality of that and ways in which we need to look at those things and address those. My whole life revolves around my emotions and how I perceive them and how I deal with them. All of my life revolves around relationships as well. Relationships and our emotions and how we manage our emotions as we interact with ourselves and with people and the world around us. Psychologists say that there are six primary emotions. In my research and study this week, you know, there were two kind of primary groups that talked about this and gave this list of six that they believed are part of our experience. The waterfall model gives these, and in your notes you'll see that these are side by side. And as we state them, note how they relate to each other, and then we'll be talking more of that. Hope and fear. So on one side we have hope, on the other side we have fear. Happiness on one side, sadness on the other side. Propathy, which is affection and love on one side, and antipathy, which is anger and irritability on the other side of the emotional scale. So that's one model. Now, Paul Ekman is another psychologist who has talked about these things and written about them. And his list, when we parse it out and when we give definition, is very similar. But listen to these. Happiness, sadness. Fear, disgust. Anger, and surprise. Now, in my own thinking, as I looked at those and read those and have experienced those, I like to think of them in this way. There are these upward emotions that are more positive, and then there are these downward emotions that drag us into feelings that we don't want to have and wish we did not have. Number one, we need to understand that God created us as emotional beings. That's how we've been created. We've been created as emotional beings. Jesus himself experienced the whole scope of emotions. Jesus was angry with the money changers in the temple, and he actually took a whip and drove them out of the temple courts because they were selling animals to people when they came to the temple to sacrifice those animals, and they were taking advantage of people. They were charging them way more than they should. And Jesus hated that. And he drove the money changers out of the temple. Jesus also experienced sadness. And we've talked about that here not too long ago when Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus died. And Jesus came to be with them. And as they shared with Jesus their sorrow, Jesus cried as well. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus' emotions were very evident then. Jesus loved people deeply. That emotion of love that Jesus has is something that's deep and full and something that we appreciate and we're so thankful for. His compassion and his empathy for people is something that he brings to us and offers to us all the time. And then we go on through the Bible and we see David. We read Psalm 33 and we see the emotions that David had himself as he lived life. And as he wrote the Psalms, we see that come out again and again in his own experience with his commitment and his relationship with God. Peter, you know, Peter was an emotional guy, and it was always getting him in trouble. And you remember the number of times that Peter found himself in places where he really wished he hadn't gone. His denying of his Lord, his cutting off the ear of the servant. Peter was an emotional guy. I'm an emotional person. Here in my recent experience of suffering, I went through the gamut of emotions that are spoken of in these six emotional truths about who we are. All of those emotions I experienced during that time of my personal suffering. So number one, we need to acknowledge the reality that God created us as emotional beings. Number two, we need to understand that our emotions impact our relationships. Anger results in broken and severed relationships, oftentimes resulting in violence. Abusive relationships come out of anger. And a bit later, I'm going to talk about anger and selfishness. But one of the things that we know is that that is a problem. And there are times in which there are marriage relationships where there's abuse that we say it's probably good that there's a separation because of that abusive, angry relationship, and that healing may not be able to come without that kind of help. And then the whole emotion of love and affection brings healing and closeness. And I felt that as Margaret loved me through my time of anxiety and my time of struggle and suffering. I knew that as a result of my family. The girls called us a couple times a week to just check in and say, "Well, Dad, how are you doing? Mom, how are you doing?" Makes a huge difference in our lives when people who are close to us come around us and demonstrate that love in a way that is special. It's helpful. It's important. Sadness often results in my going to a hole and crawling in and burrowing myself in because of my sadness. It hurts and it breaks the relationships that I have with people who are even close to me because I don't share with them because of my sadness, which often comes out of fear. Fear makes me physically sick. Fear is something that in this time of COVID and the pandemic has been something that has initiated sicknesses that may be related just psychologically to the whole COVID experience. And there have been numbers of people who have dealt with emotional issues that never before dealt with those issues because there was such fear. Hope brings healing to my brokenness. Hope helps me face my suffering and know that there's the possibility of getting out of that suffering. I went to my doctor, and the doctor checked out Margaret and me, checked our blood pressure, etc., etc. And the doctor realized that we were in pretty bad shape. And the doctor said, "But I think you can get better." The hope of healing makes a huge difference in terms of how we face life. It's an emotion that brings upward, lifting ideas into our hearts and our heads that help us to heal. My emotions impact me and the people around me. Oftentimes, when you are a person who offers hope to someone else, that person latches onto you, and there's a relationship there that's really special. And I would imagine that numbers of you have seen that as you have related to family members or even other friends who just need someone. You know, as Dan shared his relationship with Kim and her need, I know many of you have talked about friends who you're praying for, who we're praying for, and those relationships make a difference. So number one, God created us as emotional beings. Number two, my emotions impact how I relate to other people. And the third thing then is this. We need to own our emotions and use them to bring positive growth. So, don't deny the reality that you are an emotional being. Own that reality. So, anger. Anger is basically a selfish response to our life experience. So, what do I do with anger? How do I deal with anger? In our world, we see violence so often come. But there are other possibilities. You know, anger comes out of selfishness. Selfishness is sin. So the first thing we need to do is deal with the sin. We need to confess that to God, saying, why I'm angry is because I'm selfish. Now that takes evaluation. That takes looking at yourself and saying, what's going on with me? But we need to allow that anger to move us towards spiritual healing. Anger is often related to another person. So figure out what it is that has created that anger with that other person and deal with it. So Margaret and I, and I've talked about this often, our relationship is a wonderful one. We love each other, but we also get angry with each other at times. So we need to identify why we're angry with each other, and then we need to process that. We need to confess it. We need to deal with it. We need to bring healing. So you have the downward emotion that can lead to an upward result. Anger is also often a response to injustice. And we've seen that in our country and in our world so often. The injustices that are being put before us in America, the injustices that are coming with the Asians, with the African Americans, the injustices that are there, that they feel so deeply and have broken relationships. And I'm sure that you may know of people where that's true. We have individuals who are related to our own church here who have experienced that. Not all of you know, who Sonny and Sheila Mitchell are, but they have an African American grandson, great grandson actually, that lives with them, who's a sophomore in high school here, and has dealt with abuse from other kids at school, and has dealt with what he considers injustices and what Sheila and Sonny consider injustices to their great-grandson, who they're raising now. It's a reality in our own communities. And oftentimes there's anger there. Margaret has spent a lot of time with Sheila and talking with her about these things and trying to help her deal with her anger. And there's significant anger that's there. We need to acknowledge those things. We need to try to process them so that downward emotion of anger can find healing and come into an upward emotion of hope that brings healing to our lives. So we need to take these downward emotions, understand them, and respond to them in ways that will make a difference in positive ways. Why am I angry? What can I do with this anger to bring healing in me and what I perceive to be the objects of my anger? Okay, so let's go to the scriptures. What is it that God has to say to us today about our emotions, about our anger? Matthew 5:23-25, Jesus says, "If your brother has something against you, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser." Where there's a conflict, there's anger. Where there's conflict, there are broken relationships. Jesus says, come to terms quickly. Deal with it. Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 26 says this. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So, what does God say? What does Jesus say? God says, admit your anger. And Paul says, Paul doesn't say don't get angry. Paul says when you're angry, deal with it. Deal with it now. Deal with it before the sun goes down. So deal with it immediately. That's the first thing. The second thing, Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay, here we see this emotion of love. Okay, Jesus says, take that emotion of love and put it into practice in relationship to those people who you feel are unjust to you and are endangering your life, who are hurting you. Love them. Pray for them. Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, let all bitterness and clamor and wrath and anger and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then he says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And I'm going to read a more lengthy passage now from Paul in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, as Paul addresses these things again. Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What is it that God's wanting of us? He's wanting us to love, to forgive. He's wanting us to deal with these downward emotions with positive upward emotions. Instead of being angry and hating, love, have compassion. Instead of holding it against a person, forgive them and realize the healing that comes. In James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not lead to the righteousness of God. We talked about living our righteousness the other week. We talked about doing our righteousness, doing what is right. The scriptures, God tells us that anger does not lead to righteousness. Anger does not lead to doing what is right. And so we need to Realize that, understand that, deal with that, and allow it to move us to actions that are right and loving. God has created us as emotional beings. So don't deny your emotional self. Understand your emotional responses to life. Take time to think through why you feel what you feel. Think about that. Understand your emotional self. Turn those downward emotions into positive and upward action. And be kind to yourself. Patient with yourself. How many times have you experienced being angry and afterwards you said, oh man, I wish I hadn't responded that way. And we're really hard on ourselves. Understand, we're emotional beings. That's part of who we are. God created us that way. So be patient. Be kind to yourself. Then ask God's help. God already knows where we are emotionally. When Peter cut off the ear of that guard, what did Jesus do? Jesus picked up the ear and he returned it to the guard and he healed the guard's ear. And then he just made a statement to Peter. He said, yo, if we live by the sword, we're going to die by the sword, Peter. So God took what is true, took that statement. He didn't slap Peter up against the face. He didn't say, Peter, you stupid guy, why'd you do that? He healed the man that Peter hurt. And he helped Peter understand what happens in our living when we respond in ways we shouldn't. When Peter denied his Lord 3 times, what did Jesus do? Jesus restored him. And he even said, I'm going to build my church upon this foundation. Then ask trusted friends to come alongside and help you. This is so important. As I was coming into this time where I was not well, first thing I did, I had to admit that I was in a terrible place. I was in a bad place. I asked God for help. I asked my doctor for help. I asked you for help. I asked people to pray. The first thing we have to do, understand we're emotional beings, reach out, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. It's okay. It's good. It's necessary. I've realized emotional healing. I've come to a place of peace. I'm able to stand here today. And those of you who were here 3 months ago, you remember I could hardly stand. The last Sunday before our sabbatical, I was at home in my chair and didn't think I could get out of my chair to get to church at all. And told Margaret I think she needed to, you know, probably take over. And she was not happy with that. She was concerned. She didn't know what to do. I stayed in my chair until the last minute. I decided I'm going to get up and I'm going to come. I know, though, that as I came and as you observed me, you probably thought, uh-oh, he's in trouble. And I was in trouble. But God helped me, and healing has come. Your prayers, God's goodness. The doctor prescribed medication. And I want to say here again that there are some times that Christians believe that we don't need to take medications, that God can heal everything. And God does do his work of healing. But there are times that medications are necessary and important. And again, I would say, don't be too hard on yourselves. Don't think, oh, I'm not spiritual enough. And believe me, I went through that. I thought that. When I was sitting there in my chair and feeling so badly, I thought, Dale, you've prayed. Why isn't God just healing you? Why isn't God just healing me? And I was beating myself up. I went through that emotional phase that was part of the process. But then I asked for help, and the doctor gave it. I went to a Christian counselor. One of the things is Margaret and I were in the process of this, and as we talked to our kids, and actually it was Jen who said to me on the phone, you know, during that week when we were in process of this and it was so bad, she said, well, Dad, maybe you should see a counselor. And I thought, oh, no, I don't need to do that. That was my initial response. And so I wasn't going to do that. But then, you know, probably as she was praying for me, saying, God, help Dad understand he needs to go to a counselor, and maybe some others were, that God said, yeah, Dale, and I heard it, and I went to a counselor. And as Margaret and I talked, I wanted a Christian counselor who understood my faith and was a part of that part of my experience of life. And we found someone, and yeah, I could have done it online, and it could have been a virtual thing, and I didn't want that. I knew that wouldn't work for me. So we found a counselor where I could go and sit down and interact and him share in my life. And that was part of my healing as well. And then just the patience and perseverance. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes time to heal. And we need to give ourselves the time that's necessary for that. And then the love and care of our family, which includes you, our church family, and your responses to me and to us together, and your generosity in saying, yes, Dale and Margaret, take this sabbatical. Take this sabbatical. Do what you need to get better. And then our family. And like I said, our girls called, you know, a couple times a week to check in on us. And that meant so much to us. It was so important to know that they were there and thinking of us and part of our healing process. And so we're so thankful to that. Folks, God has created us as emotional beings. We need to embrace who we are. Don't deny it. Embrace the reality that we are emotional people. Address those downward emotions that can drag us into bad places. And come to a place where we understand what's happening. I had to go through that process of understanding the place that I was, which was a very bad place. And it took a bit of time to help me to come to the place where I could eventually find hope, realize the love of family, of you, realize that God is going to be involved in my healing. Life is all about relationships, all about who we are as persons. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, as we deepen our love for God and realize the depth of God's love for us, and then as we reach out and love others, there's healing, and there's an upward movement of our lives and an upward movement of the lives of those people around us as we share life together and are honest with our emotional realities. We're going to close today by singing number 366. It's Make Me a Captive, Lord. And Margaret suggested that this is a song that maybe you all have not sung for a long time or before because it wasn't in our library of songs on the computer. So, turn in your hymnals to 366, and that may help you. Or just listen as I sing, and hopefully you can catch on to the melody and join me. Stand with me as we sing.